in our seminar entitled Transformed by the Word of God, The Power of Scripture to Change Your Life. It's been an exciting journey in the past three sessions as we've talked together about how to prepare your heart for God's Word. And then in session two, as we talked about how to listen, how to come to Scripture and take time reading the Scripture, listening to God's Word. And then in our last session, how to hide God's Word in your heart, how to memorize God's Word. And it's been exciting to hear from you during our break time about things that God's doing in your life and in your family as you're seeking to hide God's Word in your heart. And we're just thankful for what He's doing for each one of you. We want to teach you another scripture song from God's Word. This is from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. But before we do that, we want to be in prayer together. We're thankful for each one of you that's here. We want to kneel down together and thank Him for this opportunity as we consider how to study God's Word, some practical insights that will help us to mine the depths of His precious Word to us. Let's kneel down together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank You for this time that we can share together. We know that You desire to transform us by Your Word. We thank You that Jesus, our Savior, invites us to come to Him. And the Holy Spirit wants to work in us and through us and to cause the Word to come alive within us. We pray that You would give us hearing hearts during this session as we talk about how to study God's Word. And give us simple tools that we can dig into the Word of God and find the precious treasures there. We know we'll be studying throughout all eternity, but we know that there's much we can learn even now and in this life. And so may the Holy Spirit be with us and bless us and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Several have been asking about the scripture songs that we've been singing, and you heard in the last session that all of these songs are songs that Bodil has written, I guess basically for our family, for family worship and singing in the car and waiting when we're in line somewhere. But in the past 2 years, she has put two of those onto tape, scripture song tapes. And I was just checking, and those are going to be available through American Cassette Ministries if you want to share them with family or friends who want to learn God's Word too. Here's a new one, Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. It's a beautiful praise song that we like to sing as a family, and Bodil is just going to play it. It says, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Will you try and sing it with me? I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Beautiful. Try it again. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Now, I'm sure that Jesus didn't sing that particular song, but I have a feeling He probably sang that psalm, as David did when he was out on the hills, singing praise to God. So there's nothing inspired about the tune, but there's definitely something inspired about the words. So don't wait for other people to write them for you. Begin to write scripture songs for yourself and sing them. And you don't have to be a great singer in order to sing praise to God, because when we sing scripture, I believe the angels sing with us because they love God's Word and they love to sing His praise. So let's try it one more time. And you know, we're not just singing a nursery rhyme, are we? Or a nice song, but we're actually, by singing this, memorizing the Word of God. We're planting a seed in our hearts. So let's sing it another time.
I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
Beautiful. It's so nice to sing scripture together. Let's go back and sing Colossians 3, our theme song. This is on the first page called Singing the Word. Let the Word of Christ is really what this seminar is all about. So let's sing it together.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Amen. You sound better every time you sing it. I just hope that someday you'll be walking along without even thinking about it. You'll start to sing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Lots of scriptures. And I need to remember when I'm out riding my bicycle, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. There's lots of scriptures that can be a blessing to us. We want to take a look now at how to study God's Word. If you'd open your workbook to page 17, session 4, we're going to talk together about analyzing the passage and how you do that, some simple principles, and yet they're exciting as we really begin to study the Bible together.
In the book Education, the first quote there, it says, let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him, and then dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own. The first principle is to study the text, careful exegesis, take out of the text, find the meaning. Having come to the Word of God with a formative attitude and having hidden it in our hearts, we now have the opportunity to mine the depths of the text. What do the following scriptures say? Let's take a look at John 16:13, 1 Corinthians 2:12-13, and 2 Timothy 2:15.
You've got your Bibles. Someone have John 16 and verse 13. Got a hand raised there. Someone who can read that for us. It's always good, you know, when the pastor's preaching or when you're studying, to turn to the text in your Bible and read it, because that's part of the process of fixing the Word in your mind. So don't just listen. If you can listen and you can see it, and even better, if you can read it along with them, you've got those three ways of reinforcing the Word in your mind. Okay? John 16 and verse 13.
But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only when what He hears. And when He will speak, and He will tell you what is yet to come.
Thank you so much. I've really appreciated the boys and girls that have been able to help us read Scripture, haven't you? I pray they'll always keep reading it. And here the beginning text tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth, and that includes the truth of the text. So if I'll come to the text, and as Bodil said, I want to do exegesis, that means take out of the text what the text says and not put into it what I want it to say, the Holy Spirit will help us. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Someone read that for us.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
So the Holy Spirit's going to help us as we compare spiritual with spiritual, and He's going to give us the insight as to what the text means. 2 Timothy 2:15 is another one of my favorite texts. It's a text that speaks about a young man, and I guess we have a young man here who's going to read it for us.
Do your best to present yourself as God, as one improved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Thank you, young man. That text was written to a young man, not as young as you are, but he was young. Who was that text written to? It was written to Timothy. And the text says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
In numerous references, Ellen White encourages a careful study of the Word of God. In Steps to Christ, she says, we should not take the testimony of any man as to what the Scriptures teach, but should study the words of God for ourselves. From Our High Calling, the Book of Books has the highest claim to our reverent attention. We must not be satisfied with superficial knowledge, but must seek to learn the full meaning of the words of truth and to drink deep of the spirit of the holy oracles. And in Testimonies, Volume 6, be not only Bible readers, but earnest Bible students, that you may know what God requires of you. You need an experimental knowledge of how to do His will. Christ is our teacher.
And so as we come to the text, we're going to ask some questions. If you look on page 18, simple questions that will help us to study what the Word is saying. Top of page 18. And we're going to practice this with a real text. So I'd like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, it's a text that we referred to earlier in the seminar. John, chapter 5. And verse 39. Here are some of the questions that we might ask of the text. Firstly, what did this text mean to the original hearers? How does this relate to the message of the whole book? And for what purpose did the author write these words? Okay, so we're going to come to the text now in John 5. You've got your Bibles open. And verse 39. Right? Okay. The first question we want to ask about that text is, who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. All right? What does He say? I'm reading from the NIV here. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me. Now, just by listening to that, you're really not going to get the message of the text. So we've asked the question, who's speaking? And we've said it's Jesus is speaking. The next question we need to ask ourselves is, to whom is He talking? Is He talking to His disciples? Is He talking to someone that's just been born again? Who's he talking to? Who do you think he's talking to? In the context now, we're looking at the text itself. Who's he speaking to? That's right. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and they've come to him. All right? So he's addressing them, and he says, "You diligently search the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify of me." Okay, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees. What's the context? Well, whenever we read a verse, we need to read the verses around it. Let's at least read the next verse, verse 40. What does verse 40 say? What does it say? Verse 40. "Yet you refuse to come to me. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." I remember growing up reading that text and thinking that the text was saying, "Search the scriptures because in them you have eternal life." That's what I thought the text meant. Did anybody else think that's what it meant? Now, is it true that we can find eternal life through searching the scriptures? Yes, but that's not what the text is saying. If we search the scriptures and we find Jesus, we'll find eternal life. But that is not what verse 39 is saying. He's saying to people who have not found him, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, and yet you refuse to come to me." So we've asked the question, who's speaking? To whom is he speaking? We've looked at the immediate context, and we could, of course, read the whole chapter to get a broader picture. But then we might ask this question, and David was sharing this insight just before this session, about looking at the bigger picture. Looking at the bigger picture. The next step to the bigger picture is to look at the whole book, right? So what is the whole book of John about? We looked at that text before, but let's look at it again. Keep your place in John 5 and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're looking at verses 30 and 31. Bodo, would you read that for us in John 20? 30 and 31.
"And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name."
So the purpose of the book of John is what? Is what now? That Jesus is the Son of God. You agree with that? You need to add anything to that? Let's add something to it then. You're right, it's to tell us that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through believing in Him, you will have eternal life. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, but you refuse to come to me. And what's the purpose of the book? That we might come to him. So as we look at the text, we ask who's speaking, to whom he's speaking, we look at the verses around it, the immediate context, we look at the whole book, and to be really faithful to the text, not only should we step back at the book, but we could actually step back and look at the whole Bible. And we would discover, as we read in the earlier session, that the whole Scriptures testify about Jesus. Beginning with the Law and the Prophets, he expanded all of the things concerning himself. So you see, we're not coming to the text and saying, "Well, I think that's saying that if we study our Bibles more, we'll be saved." That's not what the text is saying, is it? We want to dig into the text. First thing then is we're going to ask these questions. Who's speaking? To whom is he speaking? What's the immediate context? What's the purpose of the whole book? And how does that fit into the whole plan of the Scripture? Then we start doing something a little more exciting. Step B on page 18, if you're following along in your workbook. We'll take a look and we'll, in the text, we're going to highlight or make a note of certain key words or important words in the text. At this point, some study tools are very helpful. One study tool that I've recommended is this book. It's called Strong's, not because it's so heavy, but because of the person that developed it. But it is heavy too. It's called Strong's Concordance. How many of you brought one with you today? One, two, three, four, five. All right. How many of you were able to get the little handout that we made? How many of you don't have the two-sheet handout? Okay, do we have any left? We've got a few left. Just raise your hand. Want to at least get this two-page handout to each group. And if you're listening on the tape, it would be good for you to get a hold of one of these Strong's Concordances so that we can follow through on this together. Once we've looked at the text, and we're going to take as an example our theme song. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We've looked at the text, we've looked at the context, we've looked at the book of Colossians, and we've asked what's the whole book of Colossians about. And then we're going to come to the text and we'll say, okay, it seems to me that there are some key words here that we need to understand. You with me? So we'll go through and we'll say, okay, let the word of Christ dwell. Okay? What does that mean, to dwell in you richly in all wisdom? Teaching, I know what that means. And admonishing, I don't know what that means. Admonishing one another. In psalms, well, I know what that is. In hymns and spiritual songs. I think this could say psalms and hymns and scripture songs. Singing with grace, we could look up that word too. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we say, okay, let's do a little in-depth study of this text. Rather than having to go and say, well, what does that theologian say or what does that commentary say? Let's just go and study it for ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. So we're going to look up this word. If you have a Strong's Concordance, I want to invite you to open it and we're going to look for this word, okay? If you've got your notes there, you'll notice we're going to look up the word dwell. Now, if you don't, but you have the handout, you'll notice there's one sheet which has a list of texts on it. I'm going to look it up and you can look it up. And once you find the page number, just call it out to us and we'll know we're on the right page. I think it's page 287. Is that right? 287. Okay. To dwell. There it is. Now you'll notice page 286 in the Strong's Concordance, if you have the same pagination as mine, it begins with the word dwell. Whenever you look up a word in the Concordance, and we're using Strong's this time, the list will always begin where? With the book of Genesis, okay? And what text are we looking for? Colossians 3:16. All right, so we're going to start with Genesis. We're going to go down there through a couple of columns. Two and a half, three columns. And we're following on down. And finally, in the middle column on page 287, or in the handout sheet, in the middle of the sheet, middle column, we're coming on down until we find Colossians 3 and verse 16. Now, once you have found that, either in your book or you found it in the handout, just raise your hand so I know that you found it. Have you got your finger where it says Colossians 3:16? Anybody still looking for it? In the middle column, about in the middle part of the page. All right? Looks like we've all found it. Now let's follow along here. This is simple, but it's basic to be able to study the Bible. Colossians. First of all, it's got Colossians 1:19. Do you see that? And then underneath it, Colossians 3:16. You say, yep, that's our text. What does it say? Let the word of Christ be, that's for dwell, in you. Everybody see that? Okay, now here's the important step. Look across, and right there in the margin, you'll find a number. Can you see it? What's the number? 1774. 1774. Do you see it there? You say, well, that doesn't help me. What does the 1774 mean? Well, in the back of this Strong's Concordance, in this back section here of this big book, there's a Hebrew dictionary and a Greek dictionary. You say, I can't read Hebrew or Greek. You don't have to. That's the wonderful thing about it. Now, as you would expect, which of those would come first, Greek or Hebrew? The Hebrew comes first for the Old Testament, even though it's not alphabetical. Hebrew for the Old Testament, then Greek. If you have a Strong's Concordance with you, turn back to the back of the Bible, to the Greek dictionary, and we're going to be looking for number 1774. Once you find it, call out and tell us what page it is. It's on page 29. You're ahead of me. All right? Page 29. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, you've got a sheet there that I copied for you. And I want you to look on that sheet until you find the number which says 1774. Once you've found it, raise your hand so that I know that you're with me. All right. You're all with me. Terrific. Okay? And there we're going to find a wonderful Greek word that if you don't know the Greek letters, you'll have a hard time saying. But you'll notice right after it, it's written in English letters. Do you see that? And it's the word enoikeo. Enoikeo. You say, okay, so it's enoikeo. What does that mean? Well, what does it say there? It means to inhabit or to dwell in. Okay, now please notice one other thing. Now those of you that just have the handout won't be able to help me, but those of you that have the Strong's Concordance, you can help me. If you're reading there, it says from, and what number does it give? 1722 and 3611. Everybody see that? All right, I'd like one of you that has the Strong's Concordance to look up 1722. One of you that has the Strong's Concordance, look up 1722, and what do you find there? What's the word? You find it? It's just two letters, isn't it? What's the word? It's the word en. Remember the verb we looked up, en oikeo. It's made of two words, en, which means... Got it there? What does it mean? It means in, okay? And then the other word, what number was that? All right. 3611. And what is that one? Someone turn back and find that? Or go ahead, I guess, 3611? It's the word oikeo. Two words, en and oikeo. En means in. Guess what oikeo means? To dwell. It means to take up residence in, to dwell in. That makes sense, doesn't it? En, in, oikeo, to dwell in. All right, let's go back to our text now. Say, okay, I think I understand this a little better. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is that text saying to me? Does God just want the Word of God to just kind of pass by me or stop by and see me for a while? That might be going to church once a week and get a little dose of the Bible. It kind of goes on by you and then you head out into the week. No. What does God want the Word of God to do? To dwell, to put it in your own words? Yeah, to inhabit you, to actually take up residence inside of you, to actually become part of you. Let the Word of God inhabit you, take up residence in you, richly, by the way, I don't dwell in you, but he puts an in too, like in you, like really in you, dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. So we've just taken the Strong's Concordance, we've looked up the word, and we found out what it means. You could do that with any word. So, I'm going to share with you on the next one, if you look down to the section on page 18. I was going to give you a homework assignment, but this day is too short. What does the word admonishing mean? It's in Colossians 3:16. What's the Greek verb that's used, and what does it mean? Well, I'm going to ask someone that has the Strong's Concordance to look up admonishing and to find Colossians 3:16, and then to tell me what the number is. And as soon as you find it, raise your hand. While you're doing that, let me tell you that any text that you find, you can work the same process. You can go to a Christian bookstore or through one of the book distributors and you can get a good Strong's Concordance for not too much money. And it can be an invaluable resource for you as you study the Bible for yourself. So, has anybody found the number yet? Okay, Rick down here in the front. What number did you find for a code number? 3560. So he's done the same thing, followed down to Colossians 3:16, and he's found 3560. Now before he tells us, he's going to look in the back, and he's going to tell us what that means. Let me ask you what you think it means. We're just reading it now, okay? Let the Word of Christ take up residence in you. I mean, like, really be there, right? In you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. What does admonishing mean to you? To lead? To show? To be really serious about it? To admonish. Anybody else? What do you think it means before we... To correct? Okay. Teach? That's a good point. Like in the Hebrew, sometimes they'll say it twice, but it's basically, you'd say to teach and to teach, like, okay. Anybody else? What do you think it means? Counsel, correct? But we're not really sure yet, are we? We're just kind of sharing what we think maybe it might mean. I mean, someone could say, I think it means to beat, you know, to teach and beat. And you're like, I don't know. It could be that we're just kind of thinking, well, maybe I think it means this. We don't have to read the Greek text and understand the original language, or to read the Hebrew text and understand the original language to be able to dig into the text and find out what it means. All right, Rick, you said 3560? And the word is nutheteo. Does that look right? If I say so. All right. That's what the English letters look like, isn't it? Nutheteo is the verb. And what do you have down there? This is in his lexicon in the back of the Strong's. What does it tell you it means? Literally, to put in mind. Nous is the word for mind. Nutheteo, to put in the mind. Okay? But then it goes on. To caution or reprove gently. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when they talked about someone was going to admonish me, I thought I was in for trouble. To me, admonishing had a negative connotation. Now, maybe it didn't for you, but I thought, it's one thing to tell you, but when they admonish you, you're really out of line, you know? But even if it has the idea of warning, you said to reprove gently. Caution or reprove gently. You say, wow, okay, let's take a look at it again. Let the word of Christ take up residence in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and putting in mind, cautioning, reproving gently one another. There's a lot of ideas there, isn't there? As I'm trying to, I like what someone said earlier, like, get serious about this. You know, that's, even if it means reproving you gently. Now, some people you may not have to when you admonish them. You may be just putting it in their mind. But if some are heading in the wrong direction, you may have to admonish them by reproving them gently. One another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Through that simple exercise, as we've taken the Strong's Concordance, we've started to mine a little more of the depths of the text. But there's another step that is helpful for us at the bottom of page 18. Okay, we've asked the questions of the text. We've examined the meanings of the key words. And now we're going to take a look at some related passages that speak about admonishing. Follow along with me, page 18 at the bottom, section C. As you mine the depths of your memorized passage, examine any cross-references that may be noted in the margin of your study Bible. Now, do any of you have a study Bible where it says admonishing? Will you look there? Do you have any references to other texts? Does anyone have another text reference there? Maybe you don't. Just take a look and see. For example, the word admonishing and related words admonish or admonition are used 7 times in the New Testament. So how the word admonition is used in other places will help us to understand Colossians 3:16. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? If I look at the way admonition is used in other places, particularly if it's used by the same author in that way, it will help us to understand what the word is meaning. You don't have a Strong's Concordance yet, or actually even better than a Strong's Concordance. Oh boy, you say, now I need to get another book. Even better than a Strong's Concordance is this one, called a Young's Concordance. You say, this is for the young and this is for the strong. But Young developed this one. The beauty of the Young's Concordance over against the other one is this will take that word like nutheteo, and it will list only those places where admonition is used with that particular word. Okay? So that you're not just looking up any word translated teaching, but you're looking up the very word that you have there in other sections. And I've done that for you, seeing as we don't have the Young's Concordance at our fingertips. And if you look with me in the section here, there are several references. And we're going to take a look at those together. Do you see them here? 1 Corinthians 10:11. Someone would look that one up. Ephesians 6:4. And 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15. So we've studied what the word means by using the Strong's Concordance, looking up the index. We've discovered it means to put in mind or to caution or reprove. But now we want to look at some other texts in the New Testament that use the same or related word to it. All right, somebody read for us 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11.
These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come.
Somebody else read that in another translation, because this is actually not translated the word admonition, but has used another word. Does someone have it that says admonition? Thank you. Just let's see if we can get that onto the recording. What version did you just read from? From the NIV, okay? And what version are you going to read from? From the King James, okay?
All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
They are written for our admonition. The NIV translated it. They are written for our warning. So it's taking the idea of cautioning there, rather than just put in mind. It's kind of interpreting it as warning. Okay? Let's look at the next text. It used the word instruction, which is, the word instruction then would be a little more neutral, wouldn't it? Like putting in mind rather than the idea of warning or cautioning, okay? And I think we have to agree that both of those is a possible translation of the word. All right, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Someone else that hasn't read yet, Ephesians 6, 4, got a volunteer? Jimmy, right there in the back.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
King James says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the same word that's used here, teaching and admonishing. And Jimmy, what translation was that? The New International. Would you read that last part again? Bring them up in the...
in the training,
training?
And instruction,
okay,
of the Lord.
Okay, so it uses the word instruction again, which is more neutral, putting it in mind. Okay? And then we have one more text. What's our last one? 2 Thessalonians, is that right? 3 and verse 15. Okay? Dottie has it over there. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15.
Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Do not count him an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Does that sound like a negative thing? It doesn't at all, does it? Certainly, we'd have to include the word that Rick gave us. If I'm going to reprove him, I'm going to reprove him gently. I'm going to put my arm around him and say, brother, I think you're headed in the wrong direction, and I love you, so I'd just like to share that with you. But I'm not coming here to beat you over the head. I'm cautioning you. I'm putting it in mind. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Let the word of Christ take up residence in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and encouraging and getting serious about, and if necessary, even saying, I think you're heading in the wrong direction. I'm concerned about you. Cautioning them. One another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a beautiful text. Leroy, you had a comment from your translation, New Revised? To warn your brother. It takes, what did the other translation say? Not to warn, but admonishing, warning him as a brother. Okay. I guess what I want to get away from is someone thinking warning is like coming over and shaking a finger at him and really kind of giving him a hard time and taking him down. And you know what I'm saying? If anything, it's putting the arm around like a brother and saying, "Boy, I'm really concerned. You know, I care about you." Dale? Beautiful. That's certainly the idea of gently too, isn't it? So if it has to be a reproof, let's make it gentle and loving. Rather than some kind of harsh rebuke, is definitely true. Over here, and then a comment here. Oh, that's a beautiful. Did you hear what Rick just said? We're not coming up and saying, "I don't think you should be wearing that jacket. It's too vain." You know, whatever admonishing we're doing is going to be Scripture admonishing, isn't it? Where God has spoken, we ought to speak, even if we see a person going in a dangerous direction. But where God has not spoken, I don't know that we should do an awful lot of admonishing. Is that what I'm hearing you say? All right, then a brother over here had a comment.
I've written my own testimony on the entire Bible.
So what you're saying, I think that's very important, is the way in which that admonishing takes place will depend upon the state of the person's heart. For some, it's going to be more of a warning type of putting in mind. And for others, it's not going to be that kind of, you're in the wrong track, but just putting it in mind and instructing them in a positive way. And however we do it, by the way, we ought never to admonish someone if we're not willing to be admonished ourselves, right? It says teaching and admonishing what? One another. So don't be the big admonisher. Oh, I want you to meet, Sebastian. He's the admonisher here at the church, you know. We got to be willing to admonish one another, right? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Bodil, do you want to share with us some of the insights from the Spirit of Prophecy? Is that page 19?
Page 19. We should day by day study the Bible diligently, weighing every thought and comparing Scripture with Scripture. With divine help, we are to form our opinions for ourselves, as we are to answer for ourselves before God. Some portions of the Scripture are indeed too plain to be misunderstood, but there are others whose meaning does not lie upon the surface to be seen at a glance. Scripture must be compared with Scripture. There must be careful research and patient reflection. And such study will be richly repaid. As the miner discovers veins of precious metal concealed beneath the surface of the earth, so will he who perseveringly searches the Word of God as for hid treasure, finds truth of greatest value which are concealed from the view of the careless seeker.
Maybe that's what we're talking about, careful research and patient reflection. That's what we're talking about in this session, isn't it? How to study the Word of God. So that instead of saying, well, I think, well, my opinion is, I can say, well, I looked up the text and, no, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did look up the word and en means in and oikeo means to inhabit, so it means to take up residence in, and or admonish means to put in mind. That's what it literally means. I looked up the different places where that text was used, and from what I can tell, it either means to instruct in a positive way or to warn if a person's what does it say? Careful research and patient reflection. And God, by the Holy Spirit, will bless you. You've been reading the Bible. You've been memorizing. Maybe you've memorized this passage. In fact, you have. We've all memorized this one. And now you're starting to mine the depths of it. And you're saying, wow, that's powerful. That's helpful for me in my life.
And finally, we have purchased the field of truth because of the treasure that is hidden therein. The rich gems of truth do not lie on the surface. You must dig for them. Take your Bible and compare passage with passage and verse with verse, and you will find the precious jewels of truth. You should put the precious gems of light in a beautiful setting and hang them in memory's hall. Shall we not arise and work diligently in the strength of Jesus for the treasure we have so long neglected? And I love this text. This is from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
I think that's a promise when we study the Bible, that we can arise and shine, for the light has come. And by the way, that light is not a book of information. Who is the light that has come? Jesus. And the truth of the word points us to Jesus, to a deeper love for Him, a deeper devotion to Him, a deeper desire to be obedient to Him and to be used by Him to share with other people. Well, we've talked together then about doing what the big word is, exegesis. That means to take out of the text rather than to put our ideas into the text. We've analyzed the text. Secondly, section B, we're talking about how to study the Bible. And notice the order. We're now going to meditate on the passage during the day. It's best to do the study rather than just thinking about how this relates to me, because I could be misinterpreting the text. But once I've done the study, I want to meditate on it. There's a book that we haven't talked much about, but I really would recommend it to you. And I believe that I have referenced it earlier, and you can find out about this book. You Need to Memorize Scripture by N.A. Wojcik. And I'll have to look before the end of the session and give you the reference for that. I'm sure it's here. But that book is perhaps the most encouraging little book of recent times that deals with the memorization of Scripture. You Need to Memorize Scripture. I would encourage any of you, especially those of you with families, to get a copy of that book. And N.A. Wojcik is president of Scripture Fellowship International. I just got a newsletter from them, and I forget, it seems to me, and I may be misquoting him, but let's say tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands have been through his Scripture Memory Fellowship, and they have Scripture memorization programs that are available all the way from 4 or 5 year old, 6 year old, 10 year old, teenagers, adult lessons on different topics of the Bible. And this brother, N.A. Wojcik, has devoted his whole ministry to encouraging people to memorize the Word of God. And he talks about it in this book, You Need to Memorize Scripture. And I would certainly encourage you to take a look at it. Notice what he says about meditating on Scripture. Memorizing Scripture without the valuable exercise of meditation is like eating food without the process of digestion. So you can put the text in your mind, but if you don't take time to really think about it, you're not going to get the benefit out of it. And so he suggests that God will reveal the deeper meanings of the text as we spend time pondering over His Word. It would be helpful to record your insights in a journal. Unlike a diary, which records all of the events of the day, a spiritual journal is a place to express your feelings, attitudes, and reactions and responses to the Word of God. Now, how many of you have at some point in your devotional experience kept a spiritual journal? 1, 2, 3. How many of you have ever kept a notebook of your Bible reading with things that you wrote down in? A couple of you. Okay. You can go, like, to the bookstore, to the ABC, and you can buy blank books. Have you seen these books? They don't have anything inside of them, and you think they made a mistake and left the words out? Well, they're not. They're prayer journals or scripture journals. Take a book like that, and as you're doing your reading, as you're doing your study, as you're meditating on the text, write down the insights in there. You say, what's the benefit of that? Well, there are several benefits. It helps me to think clearly about what the text is saying, and it enables me to go back later and to reflect upon those lessons for my own life. So what are some of the things I might ask? Bottom of page 19. What does God want to tell me from this passage? I've looked at this. What does He want to tell me from this passage? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Now, I might say to myself, well, I think a lot of times when I come to the Bible, I've just kind of let the Bible bounce off of me. And I feel like I've spent time with the Bible, so I've kind of done what I'm supposed to do. But God is saying to me, Derek, He's saying to you, He's saying, I want the Bible to stay with you. I want it to be in you, to dwell in you. And so as I think about that during the day, I can write it down and say, wow, that's what it means. Bodil had an experience that she's going to share. God had given her this text to be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. By the way, someone said they like me singing. The only reason I can sing here is because I know I'm not performing for anyone because I'm not a great singer. But to sing scripture, you don't have to be a great singer. You just have to love the word and hide it in your heart. Well, she wrote this song, I guess it was just a few days ago. She said, hey, listen to this song. Be strong and of good courage. I said, that's nice. I like that. Deuteronomy 31:6. And she was thinking about it during the day, and something happened that really reinforced the meaning.
Well, I was singing this over and over to memorize it, and I had driven downtown. I was coming back home through a tunnel, and I was behind a car that was driving rather slow, so I thought, oh, I'll scoot over to the left lane. When I scooted over to the left lane, there was a car in that lane that had slowed down to the speed of the other car, and I noticed they were kind of run down. There were a number of teenagers in both the cars, and they were driving like 5 or 10 miles an hour through the tunnel and handing cassettes or something to each other across the cars. And I was in the tunnel, and automatically that would make me very anxious. Like, are they going to stop? Are they going to do something silly? But immediately I started singing, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So the rest of the way through the tunnel, I just kept singing that song. Now, not to try to memorize it, but I was listening to every word in that text. And we finally got out of the tunnel, and they kept driving slow. But I was not afraid at all. And the cars behind me were pushing on their horns and apparently upset like I might have been, but the Lord just gave me perfect peace, and I was just so excited the rest of the way home to realize that this word was God's word to me right at that moment.
I'm thankful for that too. You know, you hear about all these carjackings, and just in our little community, some of you know where Southern College is, and just in our community, just recently, someone it was a carjacking. He was shot and thrown in the trunk of his car. I used to think that just happened in Chicago and Detroit. But it's happening even in our communities. I'm glad that when Bodil came home, that she was sharing with me how wonderful the Lord was and how meditating upon His Word had brought comfort and strength to her. And she claimed that promise. You see, once we put it in our minds, we've studied about it, thought about what it means, we can meditate on it during the day, and God is able to bring the application to us that's helpful. Page 20, the last part of this session. Jimmy was sharing with me just during the break how at prayer meeting that you had taken a text and you'd kind of written it out in your own words. That's kind of related to what we're looking at here, bringing the passage to God in prayer. When we have studied the passage, we're studying what it means, we dig deeply into it, we've read the related passages, and we've been thinking about it. One thing that can really help us to absorb the deeper message is to make the memorized passage personal. Let me give you an example, and then I'm going to give you a text which I'd like you to look up, and in the blank space provided, I'd like you to write out a personal application of that text for you today. All right? But first, an example from Colossians 3:16. One might write in prayer, "Holy Father, thank you that the word of Christ can dwell in me, richly in all wisdom. May I teach and admonish others today in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in my heart to you." Or perhaps claim a promise in the text. "Father, I claim the promise that you will purge my memory and heal my memory so that your word will not just glance past me today, but rather it will dwell in me." Or, "I praise you, Father, that because I have hidden your word in my heart, you will enable me to sing with grace in my heart today." As I sing the word then, I claim the promise, I make it personal. I'd like you to write this text down, right underneath that in the blank space. Would you write down Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And we're not going to do this in our groups. I'm just going to have you do this personally. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do a little writing. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'd like you to read the text. You know which one it is, probably. And then I'd like you to write out a prayer or a claiming of a promise. There may be some specific burden, some special burden that you can relate to that you need to bring and find rest over. Just write it out as the Holy Spirit leads you. We're talking about studying the Word and then seeing how it relates to our own lives. So take 3 minutes, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and write out either a personal prayer or claim a promise in it. All right, we took a few moments to write a little prayer or claim a promise. Is there someone that would like to share theirs with us? Share with us what was impressed upon your heart as you wrote it. All right. Is it Dawn? We're not reading these or sharing them to show the right way to do it, because they're in the right way or the wrong way, but we're going to learn from each other.
Dear Heavenly Father, I am heavy laden with burdens upon my heart. Please take them from me and give me your rest. Help me to learn of you more, and give me the desire to want to learn of you more, so that I may become gentle and humble in spirit and find peace and rest.
What do you say? Amen. And you know, when we pray that prayer, we don't have to say to ourselves, "I wonder if I should pray that prayer." It's the Word of God, isn't it? And Jesus invites us. He says, "Come to me when you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All right, someone else like to share?
I'd like to share just verse 30. Grandma Battle would always put that verse as, instead of, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," Jesus would be saying, "My burden is tailored for you."
My burden is tailored for you. By the way, that's an interesting one. I was doing a little study while you were doing your writing. But what is Jesus' burden? We come, "My burden is light." What is Jesus' burden? Pardon? That's right. The burden, Jesus wants to take all of our burdens, because He's already carried them, hasn't He? And He wants to give us a burden for the lost, a burden for souls, a burden to go out and share His love with other people. "Give me your burdens and take my burden." All right, my yoke is easy. All right, someone else would like to share. Yes, Jack.
I wrote, "Lord, help me to take up thy yoke with my," I put "my wife or my family, so we can work in harmony with your love."
Beautiful. Help me to take your yoke. By the way, as I was doing some study, I took the Strong's Concordance, looked down, found the word is zugos, means yoke. And I found one other place, apart from Matthew, where zugos is found. in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. I would suggest to you that's the other yoke that we'll end up with if we don't have the yoke of Christ. You know what it says in Galatians 5 and verse 1? Maybe someone could read it for us. That's the same word, zugos, means a wooden yoke. What does it say in Galatians 5 verse 1? Someone have it? Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage or the yoke of slavery. So we can choose which yoke we're going to be joined to. We can either be yoked up to bondage and slavery, slavery to sin, slavery to the powers of darkness, slavery to the world, or we can choose to be yoked up with Christ. Which one's better? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my burden for lost souls. So as I write that, I experience the personal application. Does someone else want to share?
Well, I understand that the yoke is usually in pairs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Jesus pairs up with us. That's what makes it easy.
That's right. I always think of sometimes I'm not a very tall person, as you can see. For those of you that are sitting here and those listening on the table just have to take my word for it. But it's sometimes, I've moved a few times where you have to carry big furniture or big boxes, and sometimes I get one of these real big fellows that comes, you know, and they kind of pick up the box, and I'm just kind of on the other side, just kind of keeping them company, you know. I'm just kind of encouraging them, I guess, because I think they have all the weight, and it's about 6 inches higher than I could hold it. Maybe that's the way it is with Jesus, when we yoke up with Him. We're just kind of hanging on, looking for the ground, because we've joined up with Him, and His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. We've just taken a little journey in the past session. We've talked about how to study the Bible. You say, well, that's nothing very complicated. I mean, yeah, you might need a Strong's Concordance and plow your way through a few of those Greek and Hebrew words, but they have English letters, and find out what they mean and read the comparison text. But, you know, the Bible can become exciting to us when we do that. There's a lot more. There's a lot more than just filling in the blanks, but discovering the precious truths that are in God's Word. We're going to sing the song, another scripture song that we learned at the beginning of this session, as we close this fourth session, and then we're going to take a few minute break. We're going to try to turn it the other way around if we can. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I think as we've studied again this afternoon, we've talked about how wonderful Jesus is. We can sing this with even more enthusiasm.
I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High.
One more time.
I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High.
Let's kneel down together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, You have encouraged us not only to be Bible readers, but to be Bible students, to search the Scriptures for ourselves. We're thankful that by Your Holy Spirit that You can give us a breadth of understanding to be able to compare Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. We pray that we might always remember that in searching the Scriptures, that they testify of Jesus, that we might come to Him and find life. We're thankful that You ask us to be joined up in a yoke with You. We're thankful that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Help us to
accept those precious promises for our lives. And thank you that as we study the Word, that you will bring to us precious treasures, that your words were found and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. May this be the experience for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Dr. Derek Morris in association with American Cassette Ministries, a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1994, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional Spirit-filled messages by Dr. Morris or other American Cassette Ministry speakers, please write to us at American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, ZIP 17108 in the United States of America. To place your order, call us toll-free 1-800-233-4450. Thank you for ordering American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We appreciate your continued prayers and financial support, and together we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.